Where did the Entwives go? It's one of the most enduring mysteries of The Lord of the Rings. Treebeard's sadness and longing for them is heartbreaking, so where are they? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel we cover The Lord of the Rings in depth, as well as other great fantasy worlds like A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. The Ents are one of the most memorable and loved races we meet in The Lord of the Rings. They are slow-moving, slow-thinking and slow-acting, but filled with a sense of justice and right and wrong, and underline the centrality of nature in Tolkien's writings. But at the heart of their story, there is tragedy. The Ents are sad, deeply sad, because the Entwives went away many years ago and haven't returned. In order to understand what this means, let's recap on the history of the Ents, who they are, and who the Entwives are. The Ents are an old race, one of the oldest in Middle-earth. They first came into being when Aula, one of the Valar, the godly pantheon of Tolkien's legendarium, told his wife Yavanna about the new race he had created, dwarves. Yavanna was concerned for all things that grow in the earth, and she probably rightly thought that they will delve in the earth, and the things that grow and live upon the earth they will not heed. Many a tree shall feel the bite of their iron without pity. Though, to be fair, humans and elves probably felled even more trees. She went to Manwë, the king of the Valar, begging for the trees to have some protection. The Ents were added into the Song of Creation, although there's more than a hint that they may have been there already as part of Aru's ineffable plan. Anyway, the Ents were created, and were known as the Shepherds of the Trees. They were there to protect them from all perils, not just dwarves, although the ancient enmity there may well explain Gimli's initial innate dislike of Fangorn Forest. The Ents were created pretty much as we saw them in The Lord of the Rings, although over time they did become more tree-like, even slower and sleepier, and bearing ever closer resemblances to the trees they each shepherded. The elves taught them to speak, a gift the Ents were hugely appreciative of, although they seem less appreciative of the way the elves would then constantly talk to them. Sometimes they just wanted a bit of peace. So the trees and the forest were protected by the Ents, and it seems that the Entwives were with them for a long time, joining together for the creation of Entings, baby Ents. Not that we see any of them in the main stories, but feel free to imagine baby Groot, that's what I do. Treebeard just describes them as being more bendable. But of course, with no Entwives now, there are no more Entings, and the Ent race is slowly dying, or more accurately, slowly becoming that which they once shepherded. The parting of the ways between the Ents and the Entwives seems to have been caused by different interests or purposes for existing. The Ents, we know, were all about the trees and the forest. Their shepherding of the trees was rather laissez-faire, it seems, preferring nature wherever possible to go its own way, for the forest to evolve and change as the centuries passed. The Entwives, on the other hand, had a slightly more proactive approach. They liked to grow and tend and nurture, so they moved out of the forest to what is now known as the Brownlands, which is sort of between Mordor and Mirkwood. At the time, though, it was a rich and fertile land, and there they taught humans, and possibly even early hobbits, how to garden and farm and cultivate nature. Although this might seem like quite a big move, the Entwives just leaving the Ents for another part of the world entirely, the split seems to have been largely amicable. The Ents travelled to see the Entwives every now and then, and new Entings entered the world. All was still good. But then this happened. This is Treebeard's own sad account. It goes on for some time, as you'd expect from an Ent, so I've edited it down a bit, but I've tried to keep the spirit of what happened in my own hasty way. "I remember it was long ago," he said, "in the time of the war between Sauron and the Men of the Sea. We crossed over Anduin and came to their land, but we found a desert. It was all burned and uprooted, for war had passed over it. But the Entwives were not there. Long we called, and long we searched, but nowhere that we went could we find them. Our sorrow was very great, yet the wild wood called, and we returned to it. For many years we used to go out every now and then and look for the Entwives, walking far and wide and calling them by their beautiful names. But as time passed, we went more seldom and wandered less far. And now the Entwives are only a memory for us, and our beards are long and grey. So, what happened to them? Well, the most likely answer is that they were simply killed by Sauron's retreating forces. This was the end of the Second Age with the last alliance of elves and men, and Sauron seems to have basically adopted a scorched earth policy when retreating back to Mordor. He burned down the gardens of the Entwives, and the Entwives with them. As I said, this is the most likely solution to what happened. The least satisfying, perhaps, but the most likely. Treebeard doesn't believe this, though. When Pippin asked how the Entwives died, Treebeard seems quite angry with the idea. "They didn't die," he said. "I never said they died. We lost them," I said. "We lost them, and we cannot find them," he sighed. Maybe this is Treebeard just being optimistic or naive, but perhaps some of them did survive and went off in search of new places to garden. We're told that their gardens were destroyed, not them, and we hear that the Ents asked the people they met in the Brownlands where the Entwives had gone, and some said they saw them go south, some west, and some east. The Ents looked, but perhaps not far enough. Perhaps the Entwives are still out there somewhere. So if they did move on somewhere, where might they have gone? Well, we don't know definitively, but we do have a few clues. When Merry and Pippin talk to Treebeard, he makes them repeat over and again the description of the Shire, a pleasant, simple land of agriculture and gardens. He asks them if they have ever seen any of the Entwives there because he thought that they would like it there, natural but well-ordered with gardens and gentle farming. Clearly the Ents themselves had never been there to look. Treebeard didn't know the land and had never heard of hobbits, so it wasn't one of the places he had searched. And there's this curious conversation between Sam and Ted Sandyman, the miller's son, in the Green Dragon Inn near the beginning of the story. It's obviously a pub conversation and has a narrative purpose in setting up Ted Sandyman as an unlikable rationalist compared to Sam the Dreamer, which will play out much later in The Scouring of the Shire. But despite those caveats, when taken in combination with those other hints we've had about the Entwives, it's intriguing. "All right," said Sam, laughing with the rest. "But what about these tree men, these giants, as you might call them? They do say that one bigger than a tree was seen up away beyond the North Moors not long back." "Who's they?" "My cousin Hal, for one. He works for Mr. Boffin at Overhill and goes up to the North Farthing for the hunting. He saw one." "Says he did, perhaps. Your Hal's always saying he's seen things, and maybe he sees things that ain't there. But this one was as big as an elm tree, and walking 7 yards to a stride if it was an inch." "Then I bet it wasn't an inch. What he saw was an elm tree, as like as not." "But this one was walking, I tell you, and there ain't no elm tree on the North Moors." Ted Sandyman might not believe Sam and his cousin Hal, but we might. So if, and it's a big if, the Entwives survived Sauron's attack, then the most likely place they ended up does seem to be in the lush land somewhere north of the Shire. Why they never told their Ent husbands where they were is another matter, but let's put that to one side for the minute. Because at this point, we would normally turn to Tolkien himself for an explanation of whether the Entwives were still alive. He was generally very open about his writing ideas and the background to his world, answering literally hundreds of letters from friends, colleagues and fans alike in often surprising detail. But in this instance, Tolkien himself is actually not as much help as you might think. In one letter, responding to the question of whether the Ents ever found the Entwives, he simply says, "As for the Entwives, I do not know. I have written nothing beyond the first few years of the Fourth Age, but I think it is plain that there would be for Ents no reunion in history." So, even if the Entwives were still alive, the Ents won't find them. Why? Well, this is what he says in another letter, number 144 for those keeping count. I think that in fact the Entwives had disappeared for good, being destroyed with their gardens in the War of the Last Alliance, when Sauron pursued a scorched earth policy and burned their land against the advance of the Allies down the Anduin. They survived only in the agriculture transmitted to men and hobbits. Some, of course, may have fled east, or even have become enslaved. Tyrants, even in such tales, must have an economic and agricultural background to their soldiers and metalworkers. If any survived so, they would indeed be far estranged from the Ents, and any rapprochement would be difficult, unless experience of industrialized and militarized agriculture had made them a little more anarchic. I hope so. I don't know. Again, that repetition of I don't know what happened to them or where they are, but a clarity of thinking that the Ents would not see them again. I don't think this is Tolkien being deliberately evasive, though. In fact, I think it was quite deliberate. He didn't want to provide an answer because the answer to where the Entwives are actually distracts from the much more important point that he is trying to make. The Entwives are lost. Their absence has left an indelible mark on the Ents, and it makes them sad. Many things in Middle-earth are thematically lost and found again. Aragorn, as the lost heir to the thrones of Arnor and Gondor, is chief among them. The Shire is lost to the forces of industrialization and then replanted by Sam, and so on. Things are lost and then found again and replanted or remade. But for Tolkien, not all lost things can be found or renewed or replaced. Some are just gone. It is a part of our world and was a part of his. He speaks movingly of his sense of loss of the rural idyll of his youth. He felt it lost forever to the forces of modernization and industrialization, and even more tragically, as a young man, he took part in the First World War and the horrendous Battle of the Somme. By the end of that war, as he wrote simply but starkly in the foreword to The Lord of the Rings, all but one of my close friends were dead. Tolkien knew loss keenly. How could he create a world that reflected our own at a deep level without it also having loss at its heart? The ending of The Lord of the Rings is bittersweet. We see Aragorn made king, the enemy vanquished, the lands freed from tyranny and all the rest of it, but Frodo is never whole again. Galadriel talks about how she must diminish and pass into the West, and the Ents live on with their deep sense of loss of the Entwives. We have no hope to give them for an earthly reunion with the Entwives. Tolkien deliberately doesn't ever give them that hope. The Entwives are gone, and the Ents have to carry on mourning their loss. If that thought makes you sad or feeling a sense of loss, then that is exactly what Tolkien intended. The Ents lost the Entwives. They call out their names, but there will be no reunion for them. Not in this world, anyway. To wonder where they are is to miss the point. The point is simply that they are lost, as are some things in our lives. But the Ents' lives go on, as do our lives. If you'd like to see more videos on the world of J.R.R. Tolkien and the Lord of the Rings, please click on the link to the playlist on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel or get access to some content I produce just for my patrons, thank you. Please click on the link to my Patreon page on the right of the screen. Thanks for watching. That's all for this time. I'll see you again soon.